You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
You see, you got to remember your Creator, not when you're too old, not before you have nothing else to give the Lord. You can't be a witness to Him because you can't be a witness to yourself. He said, remember your days. Now you're creating the days of your youth. Watch this. I'm reading the New King James. Before the difficult days come. Oh, my God. He said, stop waiting. Talking about, I guess I need the Lord now because you got a divorce. Get saved and marry the right person. Maybe you can avoid divorce. Well, I guess I need to come to the Lord now because I had a foreclosure and lost my house. Maybe you need to come to the Lord early now and He'll give you wisdom to manage your finances the way you want to lose your house. He said, remember your days in the days of youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, y'all ever see a real old sinner? I mean, like you an old sinner. You know, I mean, like you 85 and still snorting. I mean, you 85 and still carrying a 40. I mean, you ever see an old sinner? I said to an old relative of mine one time, I said, you're too old to do nothing else. So you might as well get saved and become somebody deacon. What you doing? You know, you got young people who say, when I get this out of my system, you ain't got a system no more. You shouldn't be an old sinner. He said, you waiting. He said, before the days come, you say have no pleasure. Ain't nothing else to do but be saved. He said, remember your Creator. Look at this. Before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. He said, before you lose all your stuff or the pitcher shattered at the fountain or the wheel is broken at the well. He said, remember, get saved. Give your life to the Lord before stuff starts falling apart. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit is going to return to God who gave it. He said, you need to think about your eternal life while you're young. The scriptures also encourage us to think about how we live in this life and even how we treat people in this life. Again, all this teacher said, none of that stuff matters. And I know. Ultimately, which we're going to get to, our faith is based upon Jesus alone. But tell me, what one of the things that happen when you really get saved, the love of God comes in you. John makes that crystal clear. Anyone who doesn't have the love of God is not born of God. It's hard for me to understand all these mean, hateful Christians. No, really, it baffles me whose whole life is to just hate on people and other preachers and other religions and other denominations, and they're so mean about it and so nasty. I'm like, I have a hard time understanding these people. There's a scripture that says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? All these self-righteous, mean people. And those of us who came out of some of these more traditional holiness and pinnacle, we knew them. I mean, one time, my whole thing of not wanting to be a bishop, and this is because bishops are mean. We used to have this service. One of the first bishops I knew, bishop in our city, we would, the young people, because we didn't party. Now, see, I know your party last night ain't come to church on Sunday. Somebody told me, I was talking to my pastors about this. And somebody said, I said, I wonder if we're missing a whole nother crowd at 11 o'clock. The party crowd. No, I'm serious about this. Somebody said, amen, because it's hard for me to get up here after party. You don't know what I went through to come to 9 o'clock service. No, seriously, I told them, I said, there's a whole group
who hang out and party and stay up, who they ain't coming to no 9 o'clock service. Okay? And I just want them to come. I just want them to come so they can get the word. Okay? They can make changes in their life. But often wonder about that. All the staff members and all the people who work service are saying, Lord Jesus, don't let them start another service, Jesus. Because they ain't thinking about the sinners. Scripture encourages us to think about how we live this life and even how we treat people. Look at Luke 16. Luke 16, 19 through 26 is something else that gives us some understanding about spiritual longevity and about eternal life and about this afterlife. Luke 16, starting verse 19, he said, there was a certain rich man. Here's another rich man. A rich man who was clothed in purple. I mean, fine linen, y'all. Royalty. Had it going on. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fed sumptuously every day. He ate Wagyu steak every day. Steak and lobster. He said, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was full of sores, who was laid at the gate of the city, or even at the gate of the temple, where traffic would come and he would be begging. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs. Remember the woman said, even the dogs get the crumbs. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Man, you don't have to give me a loaf of bread, but can I just be around you? Whatever you don't want, I'll take. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. This is nasty, y'all. This man is in an awful condition. And so it was that the beggar died. And after the beggar died, though he had nothing here on earth, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I'm going to go real back. I'm going to go way back. Only about three people are going to remember this song. Rock of my soul, bosom of Abraham. Rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Everybody who sang that along with me was born before 1960. Rock of my soul in the bosom. That's where that comes from. This is saying that he was with the Lord. Okay? He was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man, he died, was buried. Okay? And being in torments in Hades. That's a reference to hell, y'all. He was in torment in Hades on hell. He lifted up his eyes. And he saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus was in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, Father Abraham. I'm sorry. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, the guy who I ignored, the one who was had sores and I ignored him, who was poor, the ones who the dog lit. Please, can you send him? Watch, he wouldn't give him nothing, but now he wants something from him. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. If I'm tormented in the flame, let me tell you something we get from that. Well, I want this. Well, the people in hell want ice water. That's where you get that from. See, I'm trying to help y'all connect the dots. That's where that come from. The people in hell want ice water. Can he dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue? For I'm tormented in the flame. And Abraham said, listen to this, son, remember? Remember in your lifetime, you received your good things. You had it going on financially. You had it going on naturally. You had your best clothes. You had the best food. You had servants. You would drive the way you want to drive and live the way you want to live and travel the way you want to travel. In your life, you have good things. And likewise, Lazarus, he had evil things. He suffered through something. But now is he comforted and you are tormented. Now is he comforted and you are tormented. I'm telling you, there's a day that God going to turn the tables. There's a day when the last will be first and the first will be last. God knows how to switch things around. My God. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. He said, he's comforted, you're tormented. And besides all this, in addition, not only that, verse 20, besides all this, there's between us and you, there's this great gulf. He said, ain't like we can just travel between heaven and hell. To all my Catholic friends. Okay? Okay? If they'll be honest, they'll tell you the truth. Our Catholic friends made up something called purgatory. I said they made it up. Purgatory. And it wasn't just a spiritual concept. It was during the Middle Ages that the Catholic Church came out with purgatory as a way to raise money. They had something called indulgences. And they would tell you, well, your brother died and he wasn't baptized. Your brother died, he hadn't attended Mass. Your cousin died and he had done this or that. So he's in purgatory. He's in a holding place. But if you give so much money, we can pray and intercede that he'll leave purgatory. It was a financial gimmick that they came up with. It's one of the things that Martin Luther, when he started the Protestant Revolution, had on those theses that he put on the door of the church, saying these are all these things that we're doing as a church. Martin Luther, by the way, was not trying to start another church. Was not trying to start a denomination. He was trying to get this one right. And so he says, a great gulf. He said, I can't come to them. You can't come to us. In other words, after this life, there ain't no turning back. So again, in that religious traditional system, they say you can become a saint. They have something that they call canonization. Look back over your life. And by the way, even though they call St. Patrick a saint, he was not canonized in the traditional sense of how the Catholic Church does that, that they look over your life and give these kids certain categories, and then they decide whether you're a saint. And then they decide you're a saint. That means you have this special place now, and people can even pray to you, intercede for them. It's a whole system, y'all. It's a whole system. He said, but there's no gulf. There is a gulf. There's no way we can get back and forth to each other. So let me tell you something. The way you die is the way you are. So either you got to become a saint now. You can't become one later. We can't make you. We don't look back over your life. If you don't die a saint, you can't become a saint later. You don't die saved. You can't get saved later. Come on now. There's stuff you got to get ready now. You got to think about spiritual longevity now. The scriptures give the contrast between the final destination of the unrighteous rich man and the righteous poor man. Y'all, for the Christian, eternal life or everlasting life, it does not start after we die. It starts the moment we receive Jesus. Let me say that again. For the Christian, eternal life, everlasting life, does not start after we die. It starts the moment we receive Jesus. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, everlasting, everlasting life. And the blessing and benefit of giving your life to Jesus today and living a godly life is that it produces dividends for eternity. Mark 10, 29 and 30, Jesus said, I say unto you, there's no man. He said, there's no man in this life who will sacrifice for the name of Jesus, who will make choices to live for the Lord. There's no man that's left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's sake. Listen to the reward that he talks about. He shall receive 100-fold. When? Now, in this time, you can get financial longevity. In this time, because you make Jesus the Lord of your life and believe in him and make sacrifices for the gospel, and now you can get the 100-fold in this time. You get houses, you get brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, but he didn't stop there. He said, and what? And in the world to come, eternal life. So when I receive Jesus, make Jesus the Lord of my life, my eternal, everlasting life starts right now. Come on now. And so it's not after I die I get my reward. I start getting rewarded right now. Oh, my God. I start getting joy right now. I start getting peace right now. I start getting prosperity right now. And then it lasts forever. 100-fold in this time and in the world to come. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul tells Timothy, he said, listen, tell these folks, reject profane and old wives' tales. He said, don't get caught up in all this religion and wives' tales. And some of you younger people today, you're trying to mix Christianity with crystals. And Christianity with horoscope. And Christianity with this and that. Well, I pray a little bit and I burn a little bit of sage. You better get rid of that sage and call on the name of Jesus. He said, reject profane and old wives' tale. He said, exercise, discipline yourself towards godliness. Here we go, because body exercise, it profits a little. Now, it's going to profit you now. Body exercise causes you to be healthy in your body now. He said, but godliness, pursuing godliness is profitable what? For all things. Watch this. Here's the promise of a godly life. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So when I live godly, I get blessed now and I'm blessed forevermore. Oh, y'all aren't hearing me here. And some of you, you're more concerned about your physical body than your spiritual soul. But God is profitable to all things. So the question, or the statement, should I say, is that you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Matthew 25, 46 through 40, 44 through 46, Jesus said, they're going to answer him and saying, Lord, Jesus said, what you do to this? He said, they're going to say, Lord, well, when did we do this? I don't understand, Jesus. He said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty or a stranger? When were you naked? When were you sick or in prison and we didn't minister to you? And he will answer them and say, better I say to you, in as much as you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Here we go. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. There's everlasting punishment or there's everlasting reward. These are going to go to everlasting punishment. But the righteous into what? Life eternal. So we're going to spend eternity somewhere. So as I start wrapping this up today, how do you guarantee eternal life? You need to be sure. Raise your hand if you're sure. Some of y'all don't know that was a commercial. That was a deodorant commercial. When we had nice deodorant commercials. They got nasty deodorant commercials now. I'm looking at these commercials saying, what are you talking about? Tell me, we can put it everywhere. I'm like, stop it. Stop it. I mean, it's on network television. He's showing you, tell me, you can, everywhere. And I said, who? Let's stop it. I have no couth today with the commercials. How do you guarantee eternal life? Jesus came to give us access again to the tree of life. That's where I started, right? Look at Revelation 22, 13 and 14. It said, Jesus said, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first, I'm the last. Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have what? Right to the tree of life. Sin restricted us from the tree of life. But when we receive Jesus and obey his commandments, which he said, the scripture says, is to love God and love our neighbor. And Jesus said the greatest commandment, here's commandment, that you believe on me. So it's just from my faith in Jesus. Blessed are they that do his commandment, for that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates in the city. We're going to go sweeping through the city. Now you know where that comes from. So it really is simple, but let's put it together. Number one, you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to Jesus. Listen to me. You can come to church and not come to Jesus.
I didn't say come to church. You got to come to Jesus. That's the first thing. The Father draws you, but now you got to make a decision to come. John 6:44, Jesus said, nobody can come to me except the Father, which has sent, draw him. He said, and if you will come, because the Father's drawing you, I'll raise you up at the last day. You'll have eternal, everlasting life. You will have spiritual longevity, but you got to come. Right now, I haven't made an altar call yet, but the Spirit of the Lord is calling people. Right now, I haven't led anybody in sinners of prayer, but the Spirit of the Lord is calling people, and he's drawing people. Jesus goes and says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me, that they're going to come. All that the Father give me, they're going to come, and him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. If we're not careful, we can become bougie, we can become elitist and think that certain people don't qualify for our groups. You know, fraternity and sorority, traditionally had a reputation of wanting certain kind of people. You know, certain sorority wanted the pretty people, the other one let anybody in and all that kind of stuff. Some people, you know, I was at a pastor's conference, and there's, again, pastors there from all over the country, and, you know, all educated pastors. And at the end of it, they take pictures of all different pastors based upon their fraternities at the end. And so one of the brothers, he was messing with another pastor who's a Q, and he's an alpha, okay? And he told me, he said, man, he said, I tried to pledge Q, man. I was supposed to be a Q. But then they found out I could read and made me an alpha. We don't have no Qs in here, right? Ain't no Qs in here. Oh, that's right, one. It was just a joke. I didn't make up the joke. Brother Means, I didn't make up the joke. And we can say, this one ain't qualified. We want these kind of people. But no, what the scripture says, Jesus said, anybody that comes to me, I won't cast you out. The qualification is that you come. The qualification is that you believe in me. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus says in John 5:38-40, he said, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom ye have sent, him ye believe not. He says, search the scriptures. He's talking about himself. He says, search the scriptures. You'll find. Because you think you have eternal life in the scriptures, but if you're going to have eternal life, the scriptures testify of me. He said, but you will not come to me that you might have life. So how am I going to have everlasting? I got to come to Jesus. Look, somebody say, come, come. Jesus says in John 6, he said, he encouraged, he said, you got to come to me. I'm here, but you got to come. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, you'll never hunger. He that believeth on me, you won't thirst. I said to you that you have seen me and believe not. All that the Father give me, they're going to come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven. He said, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. This is the Father's will, which he has sent me, that all of you, which he has given me, I should lose nothing. But I'm going to raise you up again on the last day. I'm going to give you the assurance of eternal life. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. So if you're going to have spiritual longevity, you got to come to Jesus. Second thing, now after you come, now you got to believe. You got to believe. Let me say, there are many of you who may have recently come to an altar. Come to the altar, and the music may have been playing, and we try to set things up in a way that you hear the Spirit of God and sense the Spirit of God and make a response. But see, when you leave church and leave the altar, the music ain't playing. Life is lifing, and sometimes the math ain't mathing.
after the altar call. No altar call, no altar workers, no prayer workers, no music. Life is lifing. Math ain't mathing. You got to believe I'm born again. Come on now. When I don't feel saved, I got to know I'm saved. You got to believe. And just because you come doesn't mean you believe. John 3, 14 to 16, Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, I'm going to be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in me, you're not going to perish, but you'll have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. So when I believe, my God, my life starts changing. He says in the 36th verse, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not shall not see life. But the wrath of God is abiding on you. So I got to come. I got to believe. But let me, that's really solidify. Now I got to receive. I got to receive Jesus. Okay? People talk about, you know, in traditional background where they don't understand our praise and worship, you know, they see somebody jumping out dancing and they used to say, they caught the Holy Ghost. You know, and I often describe that like, you know, somebody just sitting here and somebody running and you just got in mind, the Holy Ghost will run around too. Said, next time that Holy Ghost run, I'm going to catch him. So you do your timing. Okay. Next time the Holy Ghost come by, you go, gotcha! Woo! Woo! They caught the Holy Ghost. No, you don't catch the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost. You got to receive salvation. You got to receive everlasting life. John 1, 11 and 12, Jesus said, the scripture, he came to his own. That was the Jews of his day. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But for those who did, as many as received him, he gave them what? Power to become the sons of God. When you receive Jesus, he gives you power to be who he wants you to be. You can't be a son of God without receiving him. He gave him power to become a son of God, even to him that believe on his name. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, and ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, now walk ye in him. So watch this. The walking there is talking about a lifestyle. I know people tell you it don't matter what you do and how you live. They don't have nothing to do with your salvation. But your salvation got something to do with how you live. Yes, it does. Every other religion understands that. You ain't never seen a Muslim sitting down eating a pig feet, talking about assalamu alaikum, my brother. He's sitting there eating pig feet, pork chop sandwich with some hot sauce, talking about assalamu alaikum, my brother. The first thing you would say, you ain't no Muslim. Am I right? Am I right about it? Because you expect certain behavior to go with that. Somebody tell you they're Jehovah's Witness. But I don't believe in knocking on doors. Are y'all hearing me here? I'm Jehovah's Witness. I ain't knocking on nobody's doors. Well, you ain't no witness. Are you following me? You expect certain behavior to come along with it. What's the salvation y'all got that don't change your life? That has no corresponding action. I'm saved, but nothing in my life has changed except we used to say your schedule. Because when you got saved, at least your schedule changed because at least you came to church. Now folks will fight for their right to not come to church. Am I right? They fight for the right. They're like, man, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Man, I watch online. You know, I be doing stuff. I got stuff to do. It don't mean nothing to do with my salvation. My daughter, she had the baby at home. It'll be a year next week. And we were there. And so she had a home birth. the most traumatic thing I have ever been through. I didn't say she been through, I've been through. My wife was in a room with it, with the tub and all that. And I'm in the, you know, it's a New York apartment, it ain't but so big. I'm in the living room, and as it got down to it, and I'm counting the hours, we like 15 hours, and I hear my daughter, ah! I start crying. I said, Jesus, help my baby, Jesus. I shouldn't have been there for that. I said, help my baby, Jesus. I started texting preachers around the world. My friends in Africa, all around the country, pray for my daughter. No, not an epidural, no pill, no nothing, but just Jesus and water. So after the baby was born, so a lot of hospitals, if the child's been born at home, they won't do circumcisions in the hospital. So we had this circumcision at home. So she searched out, I can't remember, some of y'all can help. She found a Jewish rabbi who comes to the house and does the circumcision. That's where we get it from anyway, right? They're the original circumcisers. And he called me. I can't make this up, y'all. Y'all know I wouldn't lie in the pulpit. Guess what his name was, y'all? He does circumcisions. Guess what his name was? Rabbi Wiener. Can't make this up. Look him up. He's in New York. Rabbi Wiener. Rabbi Wiener comes to the house, and we actually made it a ceremony. We actually made it a ceremony. I said, I know he's not Jewish, but I would like you to say a prayer. And I prayed. I prayed and blessed my child, and I said, I want you to do what you would do for a Jewish child. Okay, we're just descendants of the Abrahamic covenant now. So we did that, and we got to, Rabbi Wiener and I got to talking. And he says to me, Rabbi Wiener says to me, he says, I understand that you're a, he didn't know what to call him, minister, priest, pastor. I said, yeah. He said, how many did your church have? I said, 3,000. I said, but we don't count no more. I said, because they don't all come. He said, they don't come? He's shocked. I said, no, they don't all come, especially at one time. I said, well, then he looked at me. So I said, well, Rabbi Wiener, do all your people come? He looked at me, he said, yes. He said, yes. He said, we understand community. That's why y'all remember during the pandemic, the Jews were fighting with folks in New York. They didn't care nothing about no pandemic. They was up there, hey. Rocking back and forth, thousands of them. He said, can we understand community? He said, we understand we need each other. We understand what we have in common. And we Christian think it's optional we come to church. And we got, it's really a misapplication of scripture when we talk about all this corporate, all this personal salvation. You receive Jesus by yourself, just like you may be born by yourself, but you're born into a family. No child born by themselves and just go living by themselves. When you're born into a family. When you get saved, you're born into the family of God. We need each other. We need community. In the Greek, it's called koinonia. We have fellowship one with another. When we have communion, it's reminding us that we are part of Jesus' body. So stop defending your right to not come to church. Stop defending your right. I don't have to read the Bible. Stop defending your right. I don't witness. No, there's certain behavior that goes along with you being a Christian.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.